Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Good morning, this is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So not only are you welcome to this show, but you are welcome to join us after the show, because today is stock market update for March. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the rest of March, but we are going to look at what happened this last week and what last month kind of set us up to prepare for. And you can register for that. There's still time. Go to irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the website registration. Couple of clicks, your email address and your name, and you will receive a link to join us. And if you cannot join us, fear not. You will get a replay link. So when you get frustrated looking for something on your TV to watch that's worthwhile, you can always do this.
There you go.
Learn something along the way, and we hope we'll be fully entertaining as well. We have a high number of pre-registrations, and typically during the show we get a whole lot more. A lot of you people have other things planned after the show. You didn't realize that we needed to be on your calendar.
How important this is. That's right. So,
here we are. So if you can't stay after the show, register anyway at irradio.com, and we will get you a replay link. And if you have questions on the replay, you can always send us an email or give us a call. If you want to talk to us this morning, this is live call-in radio. I mean, there's a lot of shows that come up after us that sometime during the week they sit down and say, what are we going to do this Saturday? We do that yesterday. what are we going to do tomorrow?
It's as live as we can get. That's right.
Yeah, but we're not pre-recorded, so this is not, well, this is stock market, but not stock talk. Anyway, this last week's market had some excitement to it.
Indeed it did.
Hey. And when you're looking at investing in the market, there's multiple stages in it. And actually, this last week generated a lesson in pain for many people. Every now and then I'm talking with someone who is trying to get started. How do I do this? You know, I'm a little confused, but give me something to read. And here we are on the phone, on the radio, Perry. We're not on the phone. We're on the radio. This is live.
Thank you. Yes.
we're talking about investing. And frankly, that's pretty easy. You can talk about investing till the sun goes down. And it does not mean you know what you're doing.
Nothing counts. Nothing counts till you have some skin in the game.
I think back about 15 years ago, I had a new client in the office and said, you know, I really think I can do this myself. Just you know, give me a book to read and I'll read the book. I said, look at that bookcase. You know, take your pick for starts. You want a book who's going to tell you how to be a successful investor. Well, reading about it's fairly easy. And then the next step is, I think I got this handled. I'm going to do some paper trading. And the data software we use has a paper trade process in it. You can pretend you're buying things. And you can pretend you're selling them until you get really confident and say, okay, I'm actually going to do this with some real money. And then what you find out is that investing with real money is darn hard.
Way different when there's money on the line. And all those clear decisions you could see before, everything gets foggy. Everything's shades of gray now. There's no black and white. And you can find yourself very confused very quickly.
Well, what happens was once you put real money on the table and you say, you're gonna click on that buy button. Real money changes the way your brain works. The process of real money, real risk, the chance of losing real dollars for which you've already worked hard and saved. Engages a part of the brain which makes reason, logic, and analysis much more difficult.
Much more difficult. That's when you find out all about fear and greed, and that's when they rear their ugly heads. And it's really true, especially when it's money you can't really afford to lose. And most of us don't have money we can't afford not to lose. So when you end up committing that to an investment of any kind, it becomes very critical that that becomes successful, and that just increases the pressure more.
Well, in the midst of all the market gyrations this week, one of the things I do during the day while I'm working is I have Fox Business on my other, on my backup computer in case my primary one for some reason quits on me, which does happen. But anyway, I'm listening to Larry Kudlow, and he's talking about all this and people being worried about the market going down. And he said, listen, and this is Larry Kudlow, listen, just buy the S&P 500. It's down. It may be down more. Buy some more. It's down some more. Buy some more. Just buy the S&P 500. And in 40, 50 years, your retirement is going to be just fine.
That is easy, isn't it?
That's right. 40, 50 years, just buy the S&P, and there's nothing to worry about. Well, except this last week, the S&P started out quite strong, actually. It rallied almost 0.5%, only to give up more than 3% in the next few days. But that was the easy part. Oh, and it's time to register for our webinar today. We're going to talk more about this, but register for today's webinar, Stock Market Update for the month of March. Go to irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website, couple of clicks, your email and your name, and you will be set to listen to an interesting, if not tantalizing, explanation of what's wrong with most people's portfolios and how we deal with doing them what we believe to be and is proving so far this year to be a much better way to handle the stock market volatility. Anyway, while a 3% loss, you say, well, 3%, I don't like that. I just gave up what I made a couple of days ago and then some. But if you were in technology, oh yes, your ride was much more like a roller coaster. Let's take the two big leaders here. One's Tesla. Who does not love Tesla? Well, there are some. I mean, there are some guys with big short positions on it. But Tesla, from its February 25th high, is only down
32%. 32%. That'll get your attention. And Tesla's been up a bunch, of course, over the past couple of years. It's been doing, you know, knocking the ball out of the park. But when you lose 30% of anything
in less than a month,
oh man, that gets your attention quick. Now you're fully engaged. When you're down 30%, that's where the pain is really starting to get intense.
Then it lost almost half of that just this week. Then there was Square. You know, that's the little square thing that in the restaurant they'll come out and have you swipe your credit card through. That's big business. You know, and the future for something like that really is quite positive. It only lost 16% this week, which was modest compared to considering that it's only down 21% from the 16th of last month. Now, that is some challenge to the emotions when you are investing on your own. You've got real money on the table, and you're thinking, what's wrong with Tesla? Elon Musk, he's a bright guy. Look at all the deals he's got. I mean, he's got all these different buckets he's working through, and he's making phenomenal innovation. Well, that's fine, but as long as you can handle, I've talked with Tesla investors, as long as you can handle 30 to 50% down drops, drawdowns, then, you know, go and sleep through it without any trouble, that's fine. But so far this year, as of Friday's close, the S&P 500, with some substantial swings in it, has managed to rack up a total return of 2.29%. Mm-hmm. And with all that volatility, most portfolios are structured to soften the blow by investing in bonds. That is your risk haven.
The most common defense against equity volatility is buy more bonds.
And one of the most common ones is an aggregate bond fund. The ticker is AGG. And so in your haven of safety, your year-to-date return is a negative 3.31%. Yeah, there's safety in the real world.
Doesn't quite work the way the long-term averages look, because the long-term averages don't have anything to do with this market. But now is when we're investing. We're not investing over the past 80 years, and all of a sudden, stocks are going up slightly, bonds are going down. It's like, what's going on out there?
So in retrospect, this week, if we're going to categorize it, I think we use capital letters. It's brutal. It was the kind of week that can make investors lose all sense of rationality and, in fact, induce panic. And the gut is just churning and churning. And should I hang on? Should I be in cash? Should I short the market? Now, if you've been with us before, I've said before, I write a pre-market daily email to a variety of financial advisors who subscribe to it. And one of the things I did say was, this looks like a market that is similar to last February, in which you wanted to be short, but this time is different. And the first part of the trading day, Friday, looked like I was wrong. But by the end of the day, if you were short, it was a drag on your portfolio and may, in fact, have been a significant loss.
Because that anyway, market, it turned around like nobody's business and came roaring back. And those are the kinds of things that really test an investor. That's when you really have to have a strong discipline process. And if you don't, like you said, Don, that's when you can really panic. That's when you can make big mistakes if you don't have a process already in place to deal with things like that, because they're not uncommon at all in the market. They happen all the time, and you need to be ready for that kind of thing.
So register for today's webinar at IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner, couple of clicks, your email and your name, and you'll be set to go to either listen to us today or on the replay. I think we should.
You bet.
Take
we're
a break.
Right. We're right. We're just a little bit early, but we'll go ahead and go. Sure thing. If you want to talk to us this morning, I'd love to talk to you. If you have a question about investing in general or anything even specific securities that are starting to bother you, or something maybe you're thinking about adding to your portfolio, give us a call this morning at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. And right after the show this morning, 9:15, we're going to be live online with our stock market update. And there's still plenty of time to register for that at IRIRadio.com. Just go to IRIRadio.com, head to the webinar page, and click that registration link. You're going to get an email back with a link in it, and just click that after the show, and you will be live online with us. We always have plenty of time for all of your questions. We pretty much stay until all the people with the questions get answered. So if you have questions and you would like to see what we're looking at, see the charts that we're looking at to give you the opinions that we have, today is a great opportunity for that. Again, go to IRIRadio.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain.
Well, last week in the market, there was a little bit of rain and a lot of thorns. It was it was a challenging week. One of the things that's really important about the market in understanding what's going on today is that the traditional concepts of what the market is made up of and how it functions has altered radically over the last decade. One of those changes is that broad diversification does you very little good, because the market is highly concentrated in a handful of stocks, frequently referred to as the FANGs or the FAN MAGs, and now it's FAN MAGs plus T, being Tesla. I mean, Apple, from a stock valuation standpoint, is worth more than $2 trillion. And Google, Microsoft, and Amazon are worth more than a trillion. The total market value of the S&P, this is everything, is about $32 trillion, which means you have four stocks that make up 20% of the index, which when we're talking with clients, we tell them you can't look at the index and think that represents the health of the market. That's been one of, and we've talked about this before, particularly coming out of the valley or the abyss, which occurred a year ago with the pandemic onset, is that the index was rallying, but most of the market was not keeping up. It's easy for the big investment banks, proprietary trading desk, and the Fed pumping money into their pockets to just go bid up a handful of stocks and make the index look healthy, because you've got five or six big stocks that if they do well, people think the market's up. I'm not keeping up with the market. Well, you're not keeping up with those four or five stocks. That's what you're not doing.
And right now, it's they have even a larger effect, because those big tech stocks especially were just ideally positioned for the COVID-19 response to really inflate their business and their earnings. And so right now, they're even a bigger driver than usual. And, you know, you can have 10 stocks in the S&P doing well and 490 doing very, very poorly, but the index will still be going up. And that's why you have to be more attentive as to where your money's going, because if you're just that index investor, you can end up with an investment that is growing, it is going north, but it could be doing so much better because you have so many things in there losing money because you're not paying attention to the rest of that index.
So if you just own the 50 biggest stocks, you pretty well do what the index is going to do. The other 90% of the S&P provides very little diversification from a risk management standpoint and from a return standpoint.
Very little return coming from there. That's right.
This is the new world. I mean, Russell has broken down its Russell 3000 index into subcategories. So there's a Russell 1000 for the largest of them, and there's the Russell 2000 for the smaller and the mid-cap size. And then you can break that up into, is it growth company? Is it a value company? And if it's growth, with interest rates rising, that's part of what activated the sell-off last week. You want to know more about this, you should join us for our webinar right after the show today. You can sign up for it at IRIradio.com. IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website, and you can, a couple of clicks, your email and your name, and you will be registered. If you can't stay right after the show because you got other things on your calendar, your honey-do list, whatever it may be, you'll get a replay link, and you can watch it later, and we'll give you personal Q&A time. All you'll have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. You want to talk to us during the week? That number is 800-317-9119. But today, right now, this very minute, you can pick up the phone and... Is Mike in the studio today? Is that who's there?
If you think I'm running this circus, there's no chance. Mike has to be here, or this doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay. So you can wake up Mike by calling 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757, and he will he'll put you up on the board for us to see, and we'll be glad to talk with you. But one of the things that's interesting about the market is that once the market goes down, man, do investor psychologies change? I don't want to lose any more money. I've been through this before. I cannot do this. And that's true. I mean, we've been through it before, and we do not want to go back there. So our hindsight bias, that's part of human psychology, its natural reaction, says, man, I'm not going to do that again. You are not going to get me to do that again. And you think it's your problem. It's not. It's human problem. And it occurs on Wall Street. Yes, even the big guys who manage serious money get scared.
Everybody's got the same issues when it comes to investing. Good on the good side and the bad side.
So it's been 12 years since the housing crash and the mortgage debacle collapsed the market. And believe it or not, Wall Street is finally saying, you know, it's time to be bullish about the market.
There might be something here. There are a large swath of Wall Street that has said ever since, you know, 2008, this is an artificial market. This is fake. This is propped up by the Fed. This is supported by fake money. This is going to collapse. We're going to have runaway inflation. And even at this point, finally, 12 years down the road, it's like, I don't know, maybe this is pretty, maybe it's okay. Maybe we're doing okay here.
This might be a contrarian indicator.
Exactly. When the bulk of Wall Street finally decides, hey, you know what? We're pretty bullish right now. That's when the rest of us start to look around saying, really? Okay, well, that is not a good sign.
So part of what happens is that the pain of the last big crash dissipates over time. You forget about it. We know it was bad, but I just don't remember it being all that bad. And so we become a little more optimistic. We become more comfortable sounding positive, and we gradually accept the fact that the market's a whole lot higher, and I should have invested 12 years ago instead of sitting on the sidelines. Actually, there's an analyst at Bank of America who keeps track of what she created as the sell side indicator. And it's really reaching a point of excessive bullishness. Not yet, but when it crosses the next benchmark on her indicator, then we're going to turn a little bit more negative about the prospects. You mentioned the fake money, Perry, and with the Fed, I mean the concern has been, well, the Fed's printing all this money.
Correct.
The Fed doesn't print money
ever. Never print money. Right.
They call their trading firms, the main banks at Wall Street, and say, we're going to deposit some money in your account. Actually, they just make a journal entry and give them an extra line of credit, if you will. That's one way to look at it. And they get to spend the money, and they have spent it buying those handful of stocks to make the market look good when the market was actually struggling. And what's interesting is at this point in time, what we're seeing is a lot of those companies that have struggled for the last 2 years are starting to get their act together. And in spite of the tech sector being hammered, and I think there's some more of that to come, these other companies, and they're smaller, they're mid-sized companies, they're more agile. They can adapt more easily. This is the old, you can turn a speedboat around a whole lot faster than you can an aircraft carrier issue. But with that, we've got Clyde from Edmonds has a question here. We'll talk to Clyde. Clyde, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a question about interest rates. I'd called a few months back, probably about four, I think, and at that time the statement was made by the Fed that interest rates weren't likely to be going up. And it was more firm than that, I think, for about 3 years. What's happening?
Well, the Fed only controls the short-term rate, and they're not going to do anything different about that. They're going to keep that low. So if you want to see higher rates on your bank deposit, that's not going to happen. What is happening is investors are saying, we think there's inflation coming, and if inflation's coming, we want a higher rate of interest. So they are refusing to pay higher prices for bonds. They're forcing those prices down in order to get a higher return on actually anything from 5 years and longer. The rates are all rising, and that's market driven. The Fed cannot control that. That's investors saying, no, I'm not going to put up with 0.25% anymore.
Yeah, really, that's for sure. And one of the other comments I was going to make was this current volatility, shall we say, in the market. I think it's mainly computer trading driven. I don't know if you agree with that very much or not, but it sure seems to be the case as far as I can see. And the computer's looking at some, has a parameter set into it, and something happens and the computer mind says, oh, I got to sell or I got to buy or what the heck ever, and they end up chasing each other. It's just like the hedge fund thing that recently happened. And I don't know what you can do about that, because the market wasn't that way, you know, more than 30 years ago.
Well, that's true. There were real people on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange back then. And the real people that are there today are for looks. They're not actively chasing tickets across the
And that does speed things up a whole lot. When everything is computer-driven, that really does exacerbate a big up day or a big down day. Because you're right, Clyde, a lot of those computer algorithms will follow each other. And it becomes a self-sustaining loop that gets started. And it makes it tough. That's why they put in some of the circuit breakers in the market now to try to slow that down.
Yeah, so that's for sure. The other day, I was just happened to be watching last 5 minutes of trading on the Dow. I was looking at it and I was watching. Went down. Okay, somebody's selling. Then somebody decided to buy, and it was just crazy for the last like 5 minutes.
It is. That's when a lot of trading gets done. Right at the end of the day, a lot of those trades are already loaded up. They're just waiting for the market to wind down, and then they execute large blocks of trades in the last 5 minutes, and they can do that with the computer. That's why that works.
Well, if you're watching it on Friday, the proprietary trading desk unload a lot of their positions on Friday. They just don't carry positions over on the weekend because they are not long-term investors.
two days is too long. That's right.
They are liquidity makers, and I've got a couple other comments on that. We'll do that right after the break. Thanks for raising the question, Clyde.
Let's go ahead and get out of here at the bottom. Thank you, Clyde. Thanks for calling. I'd like to remind everyone that today is our market update. So right after the show, you can log in. If you'd like to get registered for that, register at IRIRadio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. Just go to the webinar page, give the registration link a click, and you will get an email back right away. And right after the show, you can just click that link, and you will be live online with us. Get a chance to look at get a market update, what it looks like out there right now, what we're thinking about, and be able to see the charts we're looking at. Sometimes that helps a whole lot to get a little more clarity as to what's going on out there. So go ahead and get registered, IRIRadio.com. You are listening to Talk Radio 570 KVI. This is the Investor Resources Show. Stay with us. We will be right back.
So I'm telling you right.
You got to hold on. You got to be strong. Sometimes you just got to hold on to your stomach and say, I'm going to make it through this one. we're going to make it through. Anyway, Clyde's question about the trading in the market does bring up some interesting issues with regard to algorithms and computer trading. A lot of that is actually maker-taker activity. These algorithms are run by companies called high-frequency trading firms. They get special access. They get to see the trades that are being placed, particularly the ones that have limit orders or stop losses, particularly if they're percentage stop losses. That's easy for a computer to be programmed for a percentage stop loss. You should never use a percentage stop loss in your account. I mean, figure out what the price is and adjust it, and generally adjust it so it's not a round number. It shouldn't end in zero. I mean, make it and add an extra penny one way or the other on your limit, and it's going to help avoid getting caught up in some of that algorithmic activity. But what really causes the market to drop in this last week has not been because of heavy short selling, as was the case back in 08 and early 09. It was lack of buyers. And if there are no buyers, then the HFTs, the algorithms, see an order to sell, and it has to find a buyer for it. And if it can't find a buyer at that price or better, then it finds the next lower price. And Clyde's right, it does have an accumulative effect. I mean, you can't find a price at $310, but they can execute it at $302.
And like we always say, yeah, it's an auction market. it's an auction market. And if that auction's not going up, it's going to be going down. And it'll go down until they finally catch a bid somewhere. And that's when things can get out of control fast, when there's no buyers. The price is going to drop until someone bites on that.
And basically, you know, they are not, the HFTs are not buying and selling for themselves. They're making market. They have replaced the guys on the New York Stock Exchange floor who were shouting across the room, "I'll take that, you know, but I got a bid."
The specialists on the floor. Yeah.
So those are now computerized, but the proprietary desk, they use algorithms too, and they are buying and selling for their firm. But most of the HFTs are maker takers, and they get paid by the exchange to provide liquidity. And if there are no buyers, prices are going to fall. And that's what has happened this week, particularly in the tech side. As interest rates rise, and you look at a growth company that has a great concept but isn't making any money, how do you discount future earnings? The formula doesn't work when there's zero in one of those places. So growth stocks have been hammered, and there's been a shift into value stocks where there is some predictability of earnings. And that is a change which is not normally addressed in a significant way in a standardized portfolio. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to address that issue today in our webinar. And if you are not registered, there's still time to do that at irradio.com. Lower left-hand side of the web page, you'll see the registration place to start, a couple of links, a couple of clicks, your email and your name, and you will be registered. If you can't join us today, you will get a replay link. Our sessions are structured in a way that we do education. We want you to be smarter people. Even if you're not investing with us, you need to know how to ask questions of your advisor or make better decisions yourself. So we do an education part. Then we deal with the market. And then we deal with Q&A. So even if you go back and look at previous issues that we have on our video tab, you're going to find different information. Most of them have very little repetitive information in them. And I'm just going to move on to about everyone being a genius, but maybe Peter's one of those guys who's calling in from Bellevue. Maybe he's the genius we need to talk to. He's got a lot of questions. Peter, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, how are you doing so far today?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
We think so.
Okay,
we hope so.
Okay. Yeah, I got a list here, and when I go to the food store, my mother, she gives me a list, and she says, okay, write down the list and make sure you get everything. All right, first thing is, it's kind of like four or five different questions here, and the answers probably, you could give the answers fairly quickly. You have the gold, and you have the silver, the platinum, and the palladium. And with inflation kind of getting its ugly head in the market, why, especially of all those four gold, those four metals, why hasn't gold started up because of inflation coming?
Well, one of those theories is that it's being replaced by Bitcoin. That's the current theory on the best inflation hedge. And the other reason, I think, is that this isn't a standard demand-driven inflation cycle like we had back in the 70s. And this inflation run is probably temporary. And why would that be? Well, I think it's because we have a whole lot of businesses and their employees who are not going back to work for a very long time. Some of these businesses are closed permanently, and the entrepreneurs are going to say, never again. I'm going to find some other way to take care of myself because I can't go through this again when the government shuts me down. And so gold and the other metals are not behaving under traditional academic theory. And I mean, I track gold every day, and it's been in a bear market for a long time. Did have a run up last year, but year before last, but it's not in a good cycle. And frankly, I recently had a position in platinum, not palladium. I did that last year. I had made some money on palladium, but I was out of platinum inside of in less, I think, 2 days. I was out of it. It's not working, and it's traditional theory does not apply to this market right now.
What's the what's the future of Bitcoin? Is Bitcoin, I wouldn't buy any. My friends don't buy any. I don't think you guys would buy any. So what is the, and then that Musk guy, or whatever his name is, or Tesla, whatever one of those guys are, they bought like $1.5 billion worth. Is these guys, somebody missing out on this Bitcoin, or is it something that somebody should get into?
Bitcoin, my advice is always the same on Bitcoin. Only buy as much Bitcoin as you can afford to walk away from without a care. Only invest money you can afford to lose, and it doesn't matter because Bitcoin is, nobody's sure where Bitcoin is going. It's certainly not used. Bitcoin is not going to be a stable platform until it's used in much broader terms in commerce. Almost no one buys or sells anything in Bitcoin. And when it does happen, it's news because that doesn't happen very often. It's just a commodity investment at this point, and they're going to have to become a currency if they want to be sustainable long term. And that presents a whole other set of problems because it's kind of invisible, which is one of the premier attributes of Bitcoin right now. You can make transactions outside of the view of, in our country, the IRS. The IRS doesn't like that at all. And so if it's going to become stable and long term, those things are going to change, and that'll change the nature of the Bitcoin market itself. So that story is yet to be told, and who knows how that finishes up.
Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, the next question. Next question is related to the GameStop that everybody was getting into and everything. And of course, I didn't know anything about it until about a month ago. I never heard of the stock. And should the average person, unless you really know what you're doing, a person should never really short a stock, or like these two brothers that are on CNBC, Gerald Brothers or whatever they are, they go on options. So unless you know what you're doing, the average person should never short or get in options. What's your opinion on those two subjects?
Well, generally, that's good advice. I mean, they're highly risky. 56% of the time, the market's going up, and when you're shorting a stock, most of the people in GameStop actually had no clue what they were doing. It was just chasing a meme that was on social media. And I listened this morning to a gentleman who had interviewed the guy who put GameStop together, and or Robinhood. And basically, he lost $700,000 on his position in GameStop because Robinhood stopped trading. And I mean, that's the way things worked. And that was, why they did that. That's another issue for another day. But generally, most investors who are trading off of phone apps do not have investment background. And so any short and any options play is substantially riskier than I believe most of them understand.
Okay, that's very good, sir. That's my list. Gentlemen, I thank you very much. And most people that I talk to agree. And not only that, but you people definitely know what you're talking about. That's why I can see why you're on the air right now. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Peter. And that opens up another phone line at 888-312-5757.
And we are right past our break. We are a little late for the break here. I'd like to remind everyone once again that today is our market update right after the show, and you can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just go to the webinar page, click the registration link, you'll get an email back, and right after the show you can load that up, and you will be live online with us. We're going to go through some education, some market information about where we are right now, what we're looking at, what we're thinking about what's going on out there. And then we always have plenty of time for your questions. If you have questions about the market, about investing, or about particular securities, we'd be happy to give you a second opinion on those live online. Again, you can register for that at IRIRadio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, we still have an entire segment left. Plenty of time to get your call on the board. Give us a call at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Everybody makes a timing decision in the market. And you hear all this mantra, you can't win being a timer. Well, when do you need the money? Right now. So what do? You make a timing decision. I need to sell. That's a timing decision. I have excess cash, not earning anything in the bank. I think I'll buy some stock. That's a timing decision. There is not a single investor in the market who does not time the market. And there is no such thing as buy and hold unless you are extremely wealthy and don't need the money. In the middle there somewhere between not having anything to invest and having so much you do not know what to do with it all, like Larry Kudlow saying, just buy the S&P 500 and 40 or 50 years from now, your retirement will be just fine. Well, Larry, most of us who are listening to you are already retired, and 40 or 50 years isn't, that doesn't sound real attractive.
Not exactly when we thought the payoff was coming. We don't have 4 decades to wait.
So when we take a look at the market, is there speculation in the market? The answer is, in our opinion, absolutely yes. Do the numbers from earnings make a lot of sense? No. So what do you have? Well, you have speculation. But the bottom line is, anytime anybody is investing in anything, they are speculating that tomorrow it will be worth more money. Beanie Babies is an example, but forgetting that thing that collapsed, any speculative boom comes to an end, as will this one. When? We have no idea, but we will call it Bear Market 18 when it arrives. And how do we get here? Well, just like GameStop that Peter from Bellevue mentioned, a lot of that was storytelling. And unsustainable trends have life support if enough people think it's true.
A good story carries a long way in investment markets because people keep repeating it. And the more people hear it, the more people believe, well, that must be true then. And so I'm going to do it too. And that becomes a self-fulfilling loop in itself.
So if enough people believe it's true, it's just as powerful in the market as if it actually was true. So investors in the market and in anything else are betting on the future. I mean, a $5 Beanie Baby, I'm going to pay $100 for it because somebody else is going to pay me $101. Until, of course, there were so many and nobody left to buy them. And that's kind of what happens with the market. We just have to go back to the early 90s. And Kodak and Sears, the bet was they're going to keep their market share. Yeah, didn't work out too well, did it? eToysandPets.com. Yep. You can buy their stock really, really cheap if you can find somebody. There's probably somebody who's still willing to sell it to you. You want to pay a penny for it. We do have a call from Jeanette. Jeanette, you're on the line with Don and Perry. Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you, too. I was calling because my grandson is coming up on his first birthday here in April. I want to get him something that's going to be lasting. My mother-in-law was pretty cool in that with our kids. Every year she'd get them a savings bond. And so then by the time they were in their 20s, well, that worked out really good. But right now savings bonds aren't really the way to go. So I'm wondering what you would suggest as an investment kind of a gift for him.
Well, my late mother-in-law did the same thing. She had 32 grandchildren and great-grandchildren and some great-greats. And every year at their birthday, she bought them a savings bond. In fact, my wife has done that for a couple of ours. My recommendation is, from personal experience with clients who have set aside money for their children over time, and finding out when they turn 18 and the money is theirs to spend as they please, not all the stories have a happy ending.
Oh, okay.
So I have guided clients into just simply taking part of your account and keeping track of it year by year, knowing, and then perhaps in your will, dedicating that account or a portion of it, if you keep it in your personal or your joint account name with your spouse, set aside for the grandchild. That way you have control, and if the kid turns 18 and decides that they are going on a countrywide motorcycle trip with a buddy, then you can say, that's not what I intended to fund. But if the child is going to college, or if they have a job and they need help with the down payment, you have set aside reserves which you intended to help them in that situation. You maintain control of the funds, but once you put it in their name in a uniform gift to minors account typically, then you have surrendered control when they become of legal age. And currently that's 18, but if the current Congress, who wants kids to vote at 16, it seems to me there's a pressure associated with that at 16 they may be of legal age.
I really appreciate your input. Thank you. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Well, that's just hypothetical on the 16 legal age, but if you're going to be old enough to vote at 16, shouldn't you be old enough to drink and smoke and do drugs legally? I mean, that's the obvious.
Well, one would think.
That's the obvious next step, and we make these changes in society one step at a time, not thinking that, ooh, as you just said, Jeanette, I hadn't thought about it that way. And all of a sudden,
that's right.
There it is, staring us in the face.
Thank you.
If you have an investment account, I just create a spreadsheet that says, this year my account's worth X, and I want X percent of that to be dedicated to grandchild A. And next year, do it on their birthday. Update your account. Is the account worth more or less? What's their portion of it worth? And be sure that the family knows that's what's supposed to happen with that portion of the money in that account.
That sounds wise.
That leaves you in control.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeanette. So that opens up the phone line. There's a few minutes left to get a call in here at 888-312-5757. But there's also some time left for you to join our webinar right after the show today by going to IRIRadio.com, lower left-hand portion of the website, couple of clicks and email and your name, and you'll be set to either join us today or get a replay link. Our goal here is, after we get all the radio equipment out of the way, we'll start at 9:15, and we plan about 45 minutes with including question and answer session. But if you have more questions, I mean, we don't want anybody to go away without their question answered. Unlike some webinars during the week, when 10 o'clock arrives, you're shut off. You have to wait another month in our case. Well, actually, you could call us during the week at 800-317-9119. We'll talk to you midweek live. It won't be a recording, just like this one isn't. Let's go back to what drives the market. Just suppose that the value of a stock is determined purely by a corporation's earnings, discounted to the relevant interest rate and adjusted for the marginal tax rate. You know, in today's market,
not the case.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Nobody's doing the math. It's just speculation. And you still need a process to be able to walk away from stuff that doesn't make any more sense, or you are going to get stuck watching it disappear. And we have a process. We're going to talk about it in today's webinar. Go to IRIradio.com, IRIradio.com. Register for today's webinar. You'll get a replay link if you can't stay with us after the show. Call us during the week at 800-317-9119. That's 800-317-9119. And we'll be back live on the internet at 15. Lord willing, we'll have a great day and a great week. You too.